Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's the left versus the right in the right corner. It's heavyweight king Curtis Sliwa in the left corner. The aggressive progressive Christopher Hahn. It's a 77 WABC debate. Heavyweight slugfest.
It's the time of the season.
Here we go again. Yours truly, Curtis Sliwa, the guardian angel law and order man on the right, battling Chris Hahn, former aide to Chuck Schumer and contributor to the Fox News Channel on the left.
Happy Sunday, big guy. I see you're wearing your McDonald's sweatshirt, reminiscence of your early days up there in the boogie down Bronx.
That's
serving
right.
up those Murderbrook burgers.
That's right. And not only that, remember, that's one thing I have in common with so many people across America. One out of every three people have had a job in fast food. In fact, do you know who's the most celebrated person who has ever worked a shift in a McDonald's? I got edged out by him. I thought I was the most infamous.
I'm going to guess President Barack Obama.
No.
No?
No, no, no. He didn't serve up fast food at Mickey D's. Jeff Bezos.
Ah.
Jeff Bezos, I believe, actually worked the breakfast shift, the Egg McMuffin shift, on the grill, serving him up. And look where he is now.
I was the weekend manager of a Dunkin' Donuts when I was 14 years old. No joke. No joke.
What did he say? 14 years old.
14 years old, weekend manager.
And people coming in because they just
$3.75 an hour.
They want to get their coffee. They want to caffeine up.
I would give free donuts to people just because they smiled nicely. I go, here you go, free donuts.
Wow. So you were not good for the bottom line.
Well, we gave away a lot of donuts anyway. So, you know, they're only good for about 8 hours.
And when the girly girlies came in, right?
They always got free donuts.
Yeah,
free
box donuts. Of 12, right?
There you go. I give them a box of 12, some special cream.
What's going on in your life? Because on the northeast of the United States, a lot of people saw that we got clobbered by snow, especially the craziness on I-95. Close to 36 hours straight where people were stuck between Richmond and D.C. They couldn't move.
Well, Virginia, that's what happens when you give control of government to people who don't believe in government. You got a Republican governor in Virginia who did not know how to clear the roads, probably didn't think he needed enough guys on that day. So, you know, they cut corners, and that's what happens.
So right away you're attaching blame here, right?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, like they're really
of course.
Like they're really
3 days into his administration.
To deal
screw you.
With a snowstorm in, of all places, Virginia.
Nothing has taken down a politician faster than a poor response to a snowstorm.
That is true.
You know?
But then again, south of the border, south of the Mason-Dixon line, they really, I mean, from time to time, it's an anomaly, but they really don't
snows.
Tornadoes, yes.
Rain,
yes.
975 degrees with 1,000% humidity.
Floods, you know, lots of floods.
They don't get a lot of snow down there.
No.
They get a dusting in D.C. and everybody's freaking out.
Well, the only snow they get down there is in Florida when they're dropping duffel bags of cocaine right in the Everglades so they can fish it up and then distribute it.
So we got a big show today. A lot to talk about.
Oh, yeah. Well, we got to start with, I see it already dripping from your lips, Chris Hahn. January 6th. You say January 6th to me, and my initial reaction is, oh, you mean Three Kings Day, the Epiphany, right?
You want to get some Tres Leches.
Yeah, exactly. But I know for you, it's as if you're MSNBC. It's tattooed all over you. The venom is dripping from your lips.
Well, to me, we have to come to grips with the facts of what January 6th is. And we're never going to do that if the Republican Party feels that they have to win the Tucker Carlson primary, right? I mean, you saw Ted Cruz speak truthfully about what happened on January 6th. It was a terrorist assault on our nation's capital. Terrorism, by definition, is the use of force to achieve a political gain. That is what was happening on January 6th. You had people beating up police officers in an attempt to stop the House and Senate from confirming the electoral vote of Joe Biden. So it was a terrorist attack. Tucker Carlson didn't like that. Teddy Cruz turned coat and ran from it and ran to Tucker Carlson to apologize.
Can I hear that? Because up until then, he was very consistent in calling it an act of domestic terrorism.
He was calling it direct domestic terrorism for a year. And then he went on Tucker, and it was just like, I saw people comparing it to Reek on Game of Thrones. You know who I'm talking about? The guy who lost his three-piece set by knife. Yeah, and it appears to me that Ted Cruz has lost his three-piece set.
Well, can I hear that? I can't believe he folded like a cheap camera on that.
You never use words carelessly, and yet you called this a terror attack when by no definition was it a terror attack. That's a lie. You told that lie on purpose, and I'm wondering why you did.
What I was referring to are the limited number of people who engaged in violent attacks against police officers. Now, I think you and I both agree that if you assault a police officer, you should go to jail. I wasn't saying that the thousands of peaceful protesters supporting Donald Trump are somehow terrorists. I wasn't saying the millions of patriots across the country supporting President Trump are terrorists.
What you just said doesn't make sense. So if somebody assaults a cop, he should be charged and go to jail. I couldn't agree more. We have said that for years. But that person's still not a terrorist.
Of course, it would be ridiculous for me to be saying that the people standing up and protesting to follow the law were somehow terrorists. I was talking about people who commit violence against cops, and you and I both agree, if you commit violence against cops, you should go to jail. I have referred to people who violently assault police officers as terrorists. I've done so over and over and over again. If you look at all the assaults we've seen across the country, I've called that terrorism over and over again. That being said, Tucker, I agree with you. It was a mistake to say that yesterday, and the reason is what you just said, which is we've now had a year of Democrats in the media twisting words and trying to say that all of us are terrorists, trying to say you're a terrorist, I'm a terrorist.
Guess I just don't believe you. And I mean that with respect.
He doesn't mean it with respect. He doesn't believe him. He doesn't believe himself.
All right. Well, let's go through this because you participate in Fox News channel.
I used to go on Tucker's show, and then Tucker decided that he didn't want people who could beat him up in a debate.
Right, but
the
whole genre.
He's just a whiny little, and I don't know if I'm allowed to use the word that I would describe him for, but I have two of them at home, and you're well aware of them.
Understood. So. But you know the genre of talk TV. I know the genre of talk TV.
Yep.
I used to substitute for Tucker Carlson when he was at MSNBC.
Yeah, when he was kind of a moderate back then.
Liberal. He was a liberal. He told me for the week he was away with his family, Curtis, please don't insult my audience. This is not a conservative audience.
Right, right, right.
So many of them are thespians. They're actors. They're actresses. So in this case, you're Ted Cruz. You're considering a run for the presidency in 2024. You've already indicated, well, I finished second in the primary. You know what usually normally happens.
I'm going to run again.
So you purposely appear with Tucker Carlson. You know in advance he's going to give you a chance publicly to amend what you've been saying for months.
Right. Years. A year. He's been saying it for a year.
It's a quid pro quo. You scratch my belly, I scratch yours. You appear on my show, you take a knee.
I think now with Tucker Carlson, Ted Cruz has to roll over and show him his belly. I think that's what was going
on.
But
now, look.
I think Ted Cruz needs to reconsider his career choices.
Yeah, but that's not the worst.
He should be selling, something. Not even cars. I don't think he rises to that level.
Yeah, but
he needs to be selling something door-to-door because he's just disgusting.
It was Alan Dershowitz who said, the greatest law student he ever had at Harvard in all his years was Ted Cruz. And think of it. Here was Ted Cruz. Let's take you back to the first primary run. Ted Cruz is neck and neck with citizen Donald Trump. It's Indiana, the primary, the morning of the primary. All of a sudden, Donald Trump is on the phone saying, oh, my God, I just read an article. You see it? You see it? Ted Cruz's father assisted Lee Harvey Oswald in the assassination of
JFK. And then he called his wife ugly.
That's right. And always forgiven.
His wife, who bankrolls him, by the way. Ted Cruz's wife, Goldman Sachs prodigy, bankrolls her husband. This guy, Donald Trump, calls her ugly. He can't kiss Donald Trump's big ass enough.
Yeah, but you understand.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say that.
It's capitulation.
Right.
But let's talk about January 6th itself.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at MSNBC, they live to just play the B-roll of the guy with the Viking cap, you know, leading the charge into the Capitol.
Well, also the guys using an American flag to beat up police officers.
No, I understand.
There's a lot of that going on, too. 140 police officers were assaulted that day at the Capitol. By terrorists, I might add.
Over and over and over. And then your goddess, possibly the next Democratic presidential candidate if Joe Biden rules himself incapable of going for another 4 years, Harris, suggested that it was worse than the attack of 9/11, worse than the attack of Pearl Harbor. Come on,
Christopher. No. Uh-huh. She did not say it was worse.
Equal.
She compared it to.
Really?
We will remember where we were when this happened. Do you remember where you were when you first saw this
right
happening?
Yeah, right here.
And what'd you think when you saw that?
This is bad.
Yeah. And you'll never forget it.
But it's
you'll
no
never forget sitting right here in this studio, looking at the TVs
on
the wall.
It's
Come on.
No Pearl Harbor.
Yeah,
it's
it is.
No 9/11.
You know what?
I'll tell you why.
I'll tell you why it is as bad, if not worse, than Pearl Harbor. No foreign country will ever be able to destroy the United States of America.
Really?
The only way we will ever be destroyed is if we are destroyed from within. And that was a call from within to attack our system of government for the first time in the history of this country. Interfere with the peaceful transfer of power. The people who did it and the people who urged them to do it need to be called to justice for it. They need to be held accountable, or this nation will have significant problems.
All right, so Chris,
it'll happen again.
Chris Hahn, so you're of the belief that the biggest threat to our security is internal and not from Russia or Red China, a.k.a. mainland China.
I don't think we could ever be overtaken militarily by anyone else in the world. And we've heard about the threats economically. Every couple of years, there's a new country that's our biggest threat economically, whether it be the EU. Or remember how in the 80s we were all going to be speaking Japanese because they were going to, you know, they were selling us too many TV sets and cars and we were all going to, you know, and now it's China. You know, our military is 10 times as strong as China.
Yeah, so
we spend 10 times as much on our military as the Russians do.
No problem. No problem from Russia to China.
I'm sorry. I believe that our military is the greatest military that has ever existed in the history of this planet.
Hold on a second.
And they could take on all of these
people. Chris Hahn, you got a problem on the left, because not only are there people who say the biggest threat to America is internal, but there are others on your left who say the biggest threat to America is global warming and climate change.
Well, that's the biggest threat to the world.
Oh, okay.
That's not just America.
So not Putin.
You know, they're going to be underwater in other parts of the world.
So not Putin.
I know you don't leave Manhattan often.
And not the dictator
in China.
Not anymore.
Anyway, but it's not, you know, Manhattan could be underwater. We'll build some walls around Manhattan.
So, let me get this straight, because, you know, I want to bifurcate this.
Go ahead.
The biggest threat to America, is it global warming and climate change, or is it white supremacy?
The biggest threat to our governing structure is the divisiveness that we are seeing right now in this country, being edged on by a political party that will not accept facts on their face, that continues to perpetuate a big lie that is unfortunately being believed by too many people in this country.
Now, if we take you back to 2016... and the shock of all shocks, Donald Trump walking out on the stage.
Yep.
In disbelief that he's the president.
Disbelief.
Your candidate at the Jacob Javits Center.
Thank God I didn't go that night.
Hillary Rodham
Clinton. I got to keep, you know, one of the best decisions I ever made. My wife's like, let's go. I'm like, I ain't going. I don't like going to cattle calls to begin with. You know me. I don't like to be anywhere where I'm not the
I
star.
I understand, but she's,
you
know? she's in a fetal position.
I got it.
She's incapable of even coming out to the podium and saying, wait a second, you know, let's see where this all leads us. She didn't even do an encore.
No. She did it the next day.
So here it is. He was in shock. She was in a fetal position. There were members of the Democratic Party, esteemed members, who said, you know, this is a discredited presidency. This is not a real presidency. This was, in essence, a stolen election. Maybe not as loud as we saw from Trump.
I don't recall one person picking up a flag and beating a cop on January 6th in 2017. Do you?
All summer long, 2020.
Carl Gore.
All summer long, 2020. Black Lives Matter, Antifa.
That
rioting,
that
pillaging,
nothing,
shooting, attacking
that,
cops.
That had nothing to do with people disputing the election.
No.
Okay? Let's talk about disputing the election. Again, I don't think anybody should beat a cop. I think anybody who is using violence for political gain is a terrorist, whether they are on the left or on the right.
And if
violence is not what we are about in America. Okay, you can peacefully protest all you want. And the people who were at January 6th peacefully protesting to the big lie, they were lied to. They just protested peacefully and they went home. But the 1,000 or so people who went in there and tried to storm the Capitol, after your Gumbada Cheech Rudy Giuliani said, let's have trial by combat that day. Okay, that day, hours before that happened. Those people need to be held accountable, including Rudy Giuliani, including the people who perpetrated this thing, planned the January 6th riot. The people who were protesting in the street were not edged on by politicians to go commit violence. They were saying, take to the street and show your anger towards what's going on here. And they were not protesting the election. Hillary Clinton, the day after she lost to Donald Trump, came out and acknowledged the victory. 3 days later, he was sitting in the Oval Office with Barack Obama.
Chris, are you so naive to not understand the history of COINTELPRO, of agent provocateurs within the FBI, a tainted federal agency by everyone's standards?
Boy.
Do you not realize that they infiltrate organizations?
I know you grew up when Hoover was the
No, 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 we're not talking Hoover. This is their method of operation.
All right, we could talk more about this and other things on the other side of the break. We'll take your calls at 1-800-848-9222.
It's the left versus the right in the right corner. It's heavyweight king Curtis Sliwa in the left corner. The aggressive progressive Christopher Hahn. It's a 77 WABC debate. Heavyweight slugfest on New York's news and talk station. 77 WABC.
All right, 1-800-848-9222. Chris Hahn, Curtis Sliwa. Left versus the right, coming at you, my man.
I want your gloves, your Everlast gloves checked. I think you have rosin. A few shots you hit me with definitely got in my eyes. You have some kind of substance on your gloves,
pal. I think it's, I put a little extra weight in there. They're not the 9-ounce gloves.
Little,
I'm using the 12-ounce.
Concrete line.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. It's a 12-ounce, but it's not padded.
Like a blackjack.
Look, man, you know, I'm not a street fighter like you. I need every advantage I can get.
All right, well, speaking of streets,
yeah.
I have seen the FBI. First of all, they have a limited number of personnel all over the country. People would be surprised how few FBI agents they are. And how, as few as there are, they have all different roles to play.
Yep.
They don't all merge together. They all have all different specialties.
Yep.
One of the things that the FBI has done consistently over the years is try to infiltrate organizations on the left and the right. They'll do it either with agents who go undercover or with confidential informants. The problem is that when you have a caseload, you'd like to slam it and jam it and then be able to get the information that can lead to indictments.
Right.
Because you don't want it to keep going on and on and on. And I know from a confidential informant's perspective and from a certain FBI agent's perspective that they call it goosing. Goose your contacts. Make suggestions that may get them to cross the Maginot Line. Instead of hypotheticals, they're talking hypotheticals. Maybe we need a bomb. Maybe we need guns. Maybe we need Molotov cocktails. So to use the language that may push them into a situation where we have an indictable offense.
So what you're saying then in relation to January 6th is that for months, because for months leading up to this, even before the election, when Donald Trump was saying, oh, if I lose, it's all fake. And you have groups like the Proud Boys
right.
and the
whose leader, by the way, is a confidential informant.
Now, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Now or all jury.
Look, they're all going to become confidential informants.
I understand
and that's
that.
Why people like, you know, Roger Stone, Steve Bannon, they need to be worried.
Yeah, well, that's
because
a hot
they're all
mess.
Talking.
That's a hot mess. But
look, this is what happened. I had this conversation this week with some people on the left who are all concerned about Merrick Garland not bringing indictments at this point. You start at the bottom and you work your way up. And we're right now kind of getting to the middle. And once you're in the middle, you could start to touch those people on the top. I would be very concerned if I was them.
No, to be honest with you, I wouldn't. They're going to have to be racing the clock because they're going to be looking at the midterm elections, and it's going to be a
Merrick Garland
tsunami.
Will be the Attorney General of the United States until 2025.
You keep thinking that. What
are they
going to
do? They're going to impeach Merrick Garland, which wouldn't be able to happen in the Senate.
Merrick Garland is too busy using the Department of Justice and the meager resources, human resources of the FBI,
right.
to go to local community school boards.
Stop.
To see if, in fact,
you mean he wrote
there
a letter,
is anyone
he wrote
announcing
a letter that's,
insurrection.
He wrote a letter saying if somebody threatens to kill a school board member, we need to investigate it.
Oh, please.
Uh-oh. Are you against that?
Come on.
Are you against it?
That's the biggest crime in America now, right? School board meetings. When was the last time?
Blown out of
control. Let me ask you a
question. You spend too much time
listening
to WABC when you're not on it.
Chris.
Listening to Greg Kelly and others.
Chris.
You know, come on.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah, ahead.
You really think the biggest threat of violence in America today is at a community school board meeting?
No, I don't. But
what,
I
do you think it's in urban America where crime is off the hook?
I do not think that the biggest threat of violence in America today is at the school boards. But I do think that in America, if you are an elected official, you should be able to do your job without somebody threatening to kill you.
Oh, absolutely.
All the time.
Absolutely.
And
but now,
unfortunately, since in the era of Donald Trump, in the era of the new know-nothings, people are getting threatened every single day.
Let's look. And I'm
myself included. You know how many death threats I get?
Chris.
Oh, my God.
Nobody has had more death threats than Curtis Sliwa.
Well, you've been shot at.
Who actually had...
You've got five reminders inside your body.
Right, John Gotti Sr. say to John Gotti Jr., I want you to whack Curtis.
Yeah, yours are a little more serious than me. They checked out my guy once, and he was like 87 years old living on a respirator.
But let's look at the congressman
pre-COVID
who replaced Peter King, who voted for the legislation that some Republicans voted for, to do reconstruction of our infrastructure.
Yes.
His name?
Andrew Garbarino. Right. Yes.
He was threatened by somebody out there.
Yep.
He was taken a task in the criminal justice system. What did the guy plead to? Disorderly conduct.
Right.
Which means it's going to go away.
He gets like a $2,000 fine and no library card
exactly.
for a year or
something. I, Curtis Sliwa, arrested 76 times across America by police departments that did not want
known agitator, right. Curtis Sliwa.
Right. Organizing Guardian Angels, Law and Order Guardian Angels. And every time I go before the judge, because they don't want to go to trial, you just plead disorderly conduct and it goes away. Most of those cases in Washington, D.C., they're going to end up pleading disorderly conduct, and it's going to go away. You know that. Come on, Chris. You were involved in the criminal justice system.
I got it. But still, it shouldn't happen. There should be some sort of penalty towards it. And, yeah, if you got to go to court and you got to waste a couple days of your life and a couple $1,000s on lawyers, that's penalty enough.
Understood.
In a lot of cases.
So we're in agreement
on
that.
I don't want people out there going to school board meeting, getting in a, you know, somebody who's a volunteer, you're on a school board, you don't get paid. 99% of school boards in this country don't get paid. They're volunteers. They have kids in the school. They want to make the school better. They're on the school board. Now you got some nut job
local enforcement can deal with that. We don't need the FBI. It's not a crime going across state lines.
Well, if it's organized. And it is.
Organized. That's right. Let's get into it.
Let's get them on RICO, baby.
School community board meeting with all the mothers and daddies who are bent out of shape and the granddads and grandmas. Yeah, they're a threat to America. But back to this particular issue.
Let's stay on this issue.
I want to find out from both sides.
Yeah.
I want to find out who are the agitators and organizers.
Me too.
Of the people who stormed the Capitol. But I also want to find out from the feds, why is it that National Guard's people were available to you, Nancy Pelosi, and you chose not to utilize them.
Oh, hold on a minute. Nancy Pelosi does not tell the National Guard what to do.
No, not the National Guard. But she goes to the head of the Capitol Police, who she's responsible for, and says, you know, intel here suggests we may have a problem.
So the Capitol Police is responsible to both the Speaker of the House and the Majority Leader of the Senate. Who was the Majority Leader of the Senate on January 6th?
Schumer.
No.
Who?
McConnell.
Oh.
Schumer had not yet become majority leader.
So
in fact, it was
McConnell.
January 5th
they
actually won the election.
Come on. Can't you acknowledge that Nancy Pelosi...
Can't you acknowledge that that has nothing to do with nothing?
Why?
Let's find out.
Why was there so few security officers assigned knowing there would be thousands and thousands of people?
Well, it was clearly a failure, and I think that's something that the
January 6th... Okay, well, we want to find out.
I think the January 6th committee needs to find out about that. And look, the Republicans passed on an opportunity to have a nonpartisan January 6th committee of people who weren't elected to office, weren't running for office again, and they passed on it because Donald Trump didn't want to have it. So now the Democrats are doing it on their own with Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger.
Fine,
the only two
fine.
Republicans that are...
But shouldn't we also find out what role, if any... any federal agency played with agents
or
confidential informants?
I would love to find that out.
But you know they're going to redact it.
The information that we have seen so far, there is no evidence to even suggest
well,
that that's possible.
You're not and not
only
see
that,
that,
not only that, Curtis. Let me just put it to you this way: people came from all over the country. There, people that we are being arrested right now for being inside the Capitol, committing violence, smearing their feces on the walls of our United States Capitol, place I used to work. They're from all over the country. So where were the FBI agents? They were all over the country encouraging housewives to come to Washington, D.C. and take a dump at the Capitol?
Don't you want to find that? Come on, Chris. You know the history of the FBI.
I do.
So why wouldn't you at least say, let's find out.
I would love to see some evidence. I don't like having a theory that is accusing law enforcement. By the way, and who was running the FBI? Who was in charge of the FBI?
Chris, don't dodge the issue.
Right.
There is a history here going way back to the formation of the FBI through different directors that they use confidential informants and undercover FBI agents as agent provocateurs.
So the FBI... It was part of the Trump administration, was part of the Justice Department, which up until a couple of days before January 6th, about 10 days before January 6th, was run by Bill Barr, who couldn't be more of a Trump sycophant than there ever was. So you're telling me that Bill Barr supervised the FBI in infiltrating these groups around the country to storm the Capitol? It makes no sense to me.
No. You don't
remember,
understand.
These are whatever, any way you slice it, it comes back to Trump. The FBI was Trump's responsibility. So if the FBI was up to no good on January 6th, it was Trump who did it.
You just don't want to go there, Chris. You know the history of the FBI. 1-800-848-9222. In the anti-war years, they were infiltrating the left and the progressives. They were agent provocateurs.
Chris Hahn, Curtis Sliwa with you till 5.
It's the left versus the right in the right corner. It's heavyweight king Curtis Sliwa in the left corner. The aggressive progressive Christopher Hahn. It's a 77 WABC debate. Heavyweight slugfest on New York's news and talk station. 77 WABC.
Chris Hahn, Curtis Sliwa with you till 5 o'clock. Taking calls, 1-800-848-9222. Curtis?
You know, former President Donald Trump was supposed to have a press conference on January 6th. People suggest that he follows his own instincts. In this case, he clearly did listen to consigliere and advisors who said, don't do it.
Yeah, but I had to take questions. I would have loved to.
I know.
He never answers the questions, but, you know, it would have been nice to see him squirm a little bit.
Right, but the point was he did listen, and he avoided that, which would have just been throwing more gasoline on the fire.
You know, here's the thing about him. He created a monster he can't control. And I like to point to this whole thing he had a couple weeks ago with Candace Owens. You know, and again, I have given the former president some credit for the creation of the vaccine to fight COVID. And a couple weeks ago, he's on the air with Candace Owens on her podcast or whatever she's doing now. And he said, yeah, I took it. I got boosted. I think it's a miracle of science, and I think everybody should get it. And she freaks out. People start freaking out. Every time he mentions the vaccine and how he's taken it and got boosted, he gets booed. He's created a monster that he can't control.
There are disagreements. If President Joe Biden were to subject himself to adversaries within the Democratic Party, the AOC wing, the squad wing, supporters of liberal, progressive, democratic, socialist ideas, he would get the same kind of treatment. There's always going to be an extreme
Absolutely,
wing.
I agree.
But to his credit...
But Candace Owens wouldn't exist but for her support to Donald Trump.
But again, he got into it with her. He got into it with that audience in Dallas when he did the
with Bill O'Reilly.
Right, with Bill O'Reilly.
Two guys with questionable past with women.
I remember
when
it first came up, he was in Alabama at the time speaking at the podium to a packed audience.
Yep.
In which he said, I got the vaccine.
And they booed him.
Right. But then again, that is the disagreements that exist in both parties.
Look.
And that's good.
I think it is good.
That's good.
I'd like to see more of it. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. Dan in Rockland County. Dan, how you doing?
How you doing? You know, I have to say the hypocrisy that comes from you is unbelievable. I mean, for example, the entire summer of 2020, 30 cops were killed, 2,000 cops were injured. And you don't lay that on Kamala Harris, who supported that?
No.
You don't lay that on...
No, I don't lay it on her. She didn't tell people to go kill cops. She didn't say, let's go have trial by combat, Dan. So, no, it's very different than having a rally saying, you better fight or we're not going to have a country anymore. When has Kamala Harris said that?
No. You know how quickly
Dan.
You forget. Jesse, remember the story of poor Jesse, who was attacked by
trying to think who Jesse is.
Two Nigerian young men.
Oh, Jesse Smollett.
With the MAGA hats, right?
Okay.
Remember how Vice President Harris, oh, this is all part of the racism of America. Poor Jesse. Poor Jesse. Come on.
Yeah, well, you know, look, we were all fooled by Jesse for about 45 minutes, okay? She jumped in a little too soon.
Not even.
She jumped in a little
too
soon.
If you've ever been in
Jesse
Chicago.
Jesse Smollett, you're screwing me up here. You're giving Curtis Sliwa. Hold on. Can I just speak to Jesse Smollett,
sure, yes,
Curtis?
Please, please,
okay.
Please.
First of all, you know, Curtis rarely has a knife to stick me with. But Jesse Smollett, you put one in his hand, okay? So for that, screw you, Jesse.
Now, sorry. Later on in the show.
I hope you never work a day again in Hollywood. And I did like you on that show.
Later on in the show, we have to get into the whole concept of restorative justice.
I mean, could you imagine? You're a movie, you're a TV star. You're one of the hottest shows on TV. And you're like, I'm not famous enough.
I'm not getting paid enough.
Let me stage this whole thing so that I can get some attention. And people.
And.
Let me say something. Good looking young guy,
yes,
on the hottest show on TV.
Yes.
The hottest show on TV.
And by the way, he could have easily just pled to a disorderly conduct,
yes,
and it would have gone
and
away.
And you know what else he could have done? He could have not done that. And, you know, maybe when they wanted to renew the show for another year, he got paid
more.
But
now, think of it. You had a progressive DA in there, Fox, right,
yep,
who,
yep,
totally screwed that up. I mean, she should have recused herself because she was all on Jesse's side. She got reelected. Even though it's the crime capital of America, you look at the DA in Philadelphia, right? Both the Republicans and the moderate Democrats join together and say, we got to get rid of this guy. He won his reelection. Later on in the show, we're going to talk about what's happening,
yeah,
in Manhattan.
Yeah.
The most prestigious district attorney's office in America.
It's like a white shoe law firm. It's hard to get. I didn't get accepted. Though.
Movies and TV programs are made about the Manhattan,
right,
DA's office, L.A. Law, just one example. And the DA there is into restorative justice, and he could get reelected in perpetuity.
Yeah.
We'll deal with all that later.
Know, let's see what happens, okay, with this guy. And we'll talk about it later because we got a lot of people on the phone who want to talk about January 6th, so let's talk to him. 1-800-848-9222. Victor in Nutley. Victor.
So it's hard to even listen to a comparison about Pearl Harbor to January 6th. When almost 2,500 people died and it dragged us into World War II. And if I'm not mistaken, on January 6th, the only person killed was a Trump supporter who was unarmed and got murdered.
No, she was a terrorist who was trying to kill members of Congress and got what she deserved.
Fought for this country.
Yeah, she was a terrorist who was trying to get through a door to kill members of Congress.
Chris,
I don't care what she did beforehand.
Chris, let me take you back to Pearl Harbor. Remember the Pearl. Sneak attack, right?
Now, I know you were about, what, 10, 11 years
no,
old?
No, but my daddy. My daddy told me all
about
that.
You were 10 or 11. Let's be honest. Let's tell America the truth, Curtis. You
I'm
were there.
67.
You were flying a Piper Cub.
I was birthed in 54.
Okay. So you were a couple of years. You're a baby boomer.
If you believe the way the history is told, sneak attack, we had no idea. Admiral Yamamoto, who was supposed to be the good Japanese guy, graduated from USC, right? He was the good one. As opposed to General Tojo or Emperor Hirohito. But if you follow history, sneak attack, we had no idea.
Yeah, no idea.
Some would say.
You sure the FBI didn't perpetrate that?
No, but you know what the conspiracy is.
Roosevelt looked the other way because
he wanted to get in the war. And in fact.
So he'd get rid of his Pacific Fleet to just let that happen.
Right. Well, I don't believe that.
No, I don't either.
That's why that conspiracy
lingers.
I know,
it's stupid.
But the fact is, that was a sneak attack. 9/11, sneak attack. We didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
We saw everything coming on January 6th.
Did we see people coming in and being violent like that? I don't know how we could have seen that.
It's called intel. It's called surveillance. It's
called
confidential
informants.
She's
not comparing it to the devastation of those days. She's comparing it to the shock on the nation of that day. We were shocked. I was shocked. I'm still shocked that happened.
Why didn't she just use a more poignant comparison?
You know what it is? I think, here's the thing. These white boys.
It was like the attack on the Alamo
by General Santa Anna. These white boys calling in, they're always looking for a reason to pick on Kamala Harris. They don't like the African American woman telling them what to do. They can't pick on the old man. They can't pick on Biden because he's an old white guy. And the guy that called it, he's an old white guy.
Can't you acknowledge that Kamala Harris is flawed? During the campaign, she had people leaving her campaign. She's a real diva. And now is vice president.
She's vice president of the United States. You know what they say about people who become vice president of the United States?
What's
president?
That?
They're all pretty narcissistic. Now, you just ran for mayor, so you're aware of this, right? You know that there's a personality flaw in somebody who's going to run for something that big.
Can't you acknowledge
they're a little flawed personalities, and they're pretty demanding, or they don't get there. Kind of like radio hosts.
Acknowledge she is a diva?
She's no more of a diva than I am. Or you.
Well, excuse me.
Come on. Yeah, she's a bit of a diva. She's the vice president of the United States.
I understand what she is, and I acknowledge that.
She's the most powerful woman in the world.
No.
Second to Nancy Pelosi, I guess.
Thank you.
Sorry. Yes, she's second most powerful woman in the world.
Exactly. Thank you for acknowledging
She could be the most powerful woman in the world at any moment.
By the way, Nancy will soon be retiring to where? DeSantis land, right?
No.
Yes.
No, she's staying in California.
No, she's going to Florida.
Oh, she's going to go to Florida like everybody else in
there. Yeah, like AOC.
Well, screw it. You know what? He only won by 0.3 percentage point.
That.
All these people moving down there, he should be very concerned.
AOC was vacationing there. Pelosi and her husband, with all their stock, their fat stock portfolios, are carrying it down probably to Fort Myers.
Fort Myers. 1-800-848-9222. Arlene in Wappinger Falls. Arlene, sorry.
Yes, hi, how are you?
I'm doing well, how are you? Happy Sunday.
Thank you very much. You asked the question, what was the first thought that came to your mind when you saw the violence happening against the Capitol? Well, the very first thought in my mind was, oh my God, BLM and the Antifa have infiltrated the Trump march.
Well, where's your proof for that? Is that what you still think, Arlene? You don't sound like an idiot to me. So I'm assuming you don't think that anymore.
I guess that thinking that.
But do you think that? But Arlene, let me ask you: do you think that now?
Yes, I do.
Oh my God, Arlene! What are they drinking in? What are they putting in the water in Wappinger Falls? There's always a problem coming out of that part of the state.
Well, you'd like that to be completely vetted out in this investigation.
Of course, I would. I was open for a completely nonpartisan select commission like the one we had for 9/11.
Yeah, by the way.
And by the way.
Have we yet blamed the Saudis for that?
We should.
All of the report was redacted.
Yeah, I'm sure that they are blamed
Prince
for it in that report.
Fraud from the House of Fraud in Saudi Arabia, redacted.
You're not going to get any argument from me. I give the Saudis no cover here, no pass from me.
Right, but
I
think we can agree on this.
Clearly, the Bin Laden family knew what their youngest son was doing.
Open public hearings. We take all points of view. Let the American public make their own determination.
Well,
let's not guide them.
We're going to have a committee hearing. We're going to have a hearing. There are going to be lots of public hearings in the next couple of weeks. And let's hear what people have to say. And all these people taking the fifth, the Roger Stones of the world, the Steve Bannons fighting their subpoenas. If they're innocent, what do they have? Remember how people used to say stop and frisk? If you're innocent, what are you worried about?
Chris.
If you've got nothing to hide, if you've done nothing wrong,
at the end of
why
your
can't
name,
you talk?
At the end of your name, it's Esquire, right?
It is.
Your lawyer.
Just call me Dr. Hahn.
You might actually advocate if you were representing a client taking the fifth, right?
If they're guilty.
Oh, if they're guilty.
Yeah.
That's not what the Fifth Amendment means. So all of a sudden, where did all your law training come in?
It's not what it means, but it's why you take it.
Oh, I see.
What is the
amendment doing in there for?
Let me tell you something. Not a lot of innocent people take the Fifth. Let's just leave it at that. I've represented people on both sides, whether they've been prosecuted or defendants. And when they're innocent, they don't take the Fifth.
Oh, okay. All
right. They tell their
story. So you threw all the law school training right out the door.
Well, you know, they don't really... let me just explain something to you. They don't really teach you how to be a lawyer in law school. They don't teach you how to actually practice law. Ask Nancy. She'll tell you.
My wife is a lawyer.
I know.
And she acknowledges they teach you how to talk out of both sides of your mouth, meaning they will ask you in a classroom, take the affirmative, and now take the negative.
Right, of course.
And simultaneously, you could take both points and win the case.
But by the way, that's only one class. That's like advocacy or something like that. Most of the time you're in law school, you're learning obscure stuff that doesn't matter. You don't really learn how to be a lawyer. You learn how to be a lawyer through your internships and through your
how
jobs.
How much money did you waste on basically
80 grand. Still paying for it, too, by the way. Sucks. 1-800-848-9222. Let me go to Larry in Brooklyn. Larry!
Yeah, Ashley Babbitt was unarmed. So don't you think it's a little bit hyperbolic to say that she was there to kill Congress people?
She was there to kill Congress people.
Yeah, where was her arms? What was she? How was she going to kill
them? She was leading the charge of other people that were going to go in there and they were going to take those Congress people. Look at what she said. Look at what they were doing. And she was told by the police officers there that day to stop. They were there to protect the members of Congress. They were there. People were assaulting cops all over the Capitol. Ashley Babbitt was used. I don't believe that it was all of her fault. I believe that she was radicalized by people like Trump, by people like Bannon. Okay, but she was there, like other people
were radicalized. What happened to personal responsibility? You come to your own conclusions. Now you're blaming Bannon. You're blaming Trump.
Well, you know, people
for her coming all the way over
from
San Diego.
You got to believe the lie, right? You got to hear the lie. You got to believe the lie.
Let me take you back.
She trusted the wrong people.
Let me take you back in a time machine.
Yeah, a time machine.
There was a woman who spent time in jail, eventually released by Bill Clinton. They were FALN terrorists who went in to the public area of the House of Representatives, pulled guns out, shot five congresspeople right there in the well of the House. That's pretty devastating.
Horrible.
Why were they all given
opportunities? You're asking me about something that happened in 1993.
You know why Bill did it? Because Hillary was running for U.S. Senate in New York and she wanted the Puerto Rican vote.
I wouldn't have let him out.
Okay.
Frankly, I think if you pull a gun on a member of Congress and start shooting, I think you should be executed.
Okay. And let's not forget.
I'm not for the death penalty for any other reason
let's
except
not
for political terrorism.
The Puerto Rican terrorist who almost killed Truman in the Blair House, if not for a Washington, D.C. cop.
Bad stuff. 1-800-848-9222. Chris Hahn, Curtis Sliwa with you till 5.
It's the left versus the right in the right corner. It's heavyweight king Curtis Sliwa in the left corner. The aggressive progressive Christopher Hahn. It's a 77 WABC debate. Heavyweight slugfest on New York's news and talk station. 77 WABC.
1-800-848-9222. I'm Chris Hahn. I'm with Curtis Sliwa.
Now, Chris, leading the effort of this investigative committee into January 6th is really Liz Cheney.
Absolutely.
This very same Cheneys that got us involved in Iraq, the warmongers, created the worst situation
in
our history.
Well, it was her father.
Yeah, but
I'm not going to blame your kids for all everything you've done.
It.
I mean, you don't want them blamed for everything you've done.
Yeah, that's correct.
I don't want my kids blamed for anything I did.
She was a true believer. Even to this day, she justifies it. But she is your Joan of Arc right now, right?
She is solid as a rock on this issue.
All right. But you don't have any other Republican on that committee.
Well, Adam Kinzinger.
Who gives a different point of view.
They should have put serious people on the committee. Jim Jordan is not a serious person. He is not a serious person.
What, should he put his jacket on?
Put on a jacket, pull down your sleeves, and apologize to all those wrestlers at Ohio State who came to you when they were being sexually assaulted and you did nothing. And then we'll take you seriously,
right,
Jim.
Do you think just for the optics, maybe to have had one Trumper on the committee?
I think it would have been a great thing if we would have just had this non-political committee of elder statespeople who could have walked us through it and told us the truth.
Non-electeds. People who have already served.
People who aren't coming back. People who didn't have anything to gain. Like they did for 9/11. They brought in the former governor of New Jersey. He wasn't running for anything. He chaired the committee with a Democrat. He's a guy from Jersey who speaks like he's from England. I don't understand.
Exactly.
1-800-848-9222. Carol, you're on with Curtis and Chris.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to say that I think that Pelosi not hiring the National Guard, not getting them to the rally, I think this was planned. I think they used the Trump rally to bludgeon him with. And I think that's why the FBI guys were there, tried urging people to break in. And I think that this was planned. And I think it'll never really come out until she's gone from office. Well, and then one day it'll come out.
Let me ask you, Carol. So she just assumed they were going to be violent and said, let's not have the National Guard there because, of course, they're going to be violent. They're Trump people. Is that what you're saying?
She hoped it would be violent.
She hoped. I don't understand. I don't understand what she's saying. Can you try to explain it to me, Carol?
On her way out the door, because thank God she's retiring.
Yes.
Wouldn't it behoove Nancy to say, I really didn't focus on that as I should have? That would almost eliminate part of the problem with that instead of her stonewalling, not my job.
Well, you know, this is like her 50th transfer of power, and nothing like this has ever happened on a day that usually is B-roll on the evening news. Oh, and today they brought in the big gold box with the electoral
votes. She's being drawn
into it. It became a thing because the former guy.
Right, but she's being drawn into this because, and she hasn't answered this question. It's like, why not just acknowledge, like so many of our elected officials and appointed officials, Democrats and Republicans, I wasn't on my A game. I should have been focused on security. I should have understood that there was a need for additional security.
It is not the Speaker of the House's job.
Oh, no. She had
to
no
be
interest
in charge
in
of the security of the Capitol. Okay, there is a Capitol Police Department. Now, she hires them, and she fired the chief of that police. But it is not her job to do that. And frankly, to even think that something like that would happen, it's unthinkable in this country. I guess it's thinkable now. Now we'll always be thinking.
Absolve her of any responsibility.
I'm not absolving her of any responsibility. Of course not.
What she has to do is say, you know, I should have paid more attention to that. That's it.
Okay, but that's not the biggest problem of January 6th.
Oh, I see.
The biggest problem of January 6th are people saying, let's have trial by combat. People rallying people up towards violence.
So
those people need to be held
based
accountable.
Based on what we know now.
Right.
You having worked in the criminal justice system.
Yes, sir.
Having been an aide to Chuck Schumer, who's leading the charge now. Would you say there's indictable offenses against the former President Donald Trump and his attorney?
I don't know if it's going to make it all the way to Donald Trump. But I do think that people pretty close to Donald Trump are going to get indicted. And I think some of them are going to get convicted. And I can't wait.
So you would have to recuse yourself if you were on the jury, right?
I would not.
If you were in the grand jury.
You do not want me on that jury.
That's
I would not
sure.
get picked. Or I go in there and I play dumb. I go, I don't know. I don't even have a television set. I'm not the Chris Hahn on the radio. Please pick me for the jury. 1-800-848-9222.
Well, now the venue, if there ever is a venue, would be Washington, D.C., the federal court system.
Yeah, it sucks for them.
Exactly. It's not Virginia.
Not going to be fun.
It's not in nearby Virginia.
Even if it's in Virginia, it'll be Northern Virginia.
Yeah, but still,
you got a better shot
in Northern Virginia than you do in Washington,
really.
D.C.
Got a lot of New York Times readers in Northern Virginia.
By then, will Pelosi and Schumer have their dream of D.C. becoming the 51st state?
You know what? It would have been the first thing I did. You know, when Obama had a 60-vote majority in the Senate, I would have created the state of Puerto Rico and the state of Washington,
Okay,
D.C.
but, you know, Puerto Rico is not a slam dunk.
They got to want it.
They've had Republican governors.
You know, they're not Republicans or Democrats in Puerto Rico.
And by
the way, statehood party and independence party.
And by
right?
the way, as many
Commonwealth
as
party.
Many Puerto Ricans have left to come to the mainland here because of the earthquake.
Hurricane Maria.
Hurricane.
Yeah.
Who is actually flocking to Puerto Rico? All the crypto monsters, like hedge fund monsters, because their monies are shielded in Puerto Rico. Did you know that?
Something's got to give, man.
Yeah, you see?
Something's got to give. I don't know. 1-800-848-9222. We have time for a quick call before we go to break. Dean, come on. You're on the air, Dean.
Hey, Curtis and Chris. Hey, Chris. We've seen what happened. We've seen them breaking windows. Why do you got to embellish the story about, you know, like them smearing fleeces on the wood?
Because they did, Dean. Dean, it happened. I'm sorry. I don't want to say it. I hate it. I hate that it happened. I hate that our fellow Americans were lied to and they felt that this was acceptable behavior. Maybe they just couldn't find the bathroom. It's very complicated.
Out of all the violations, that was the worst indiscretion of all. Taking feces.
I get it.
And
smearing
it on the wall.
You could get easily lost in the Capitol. Maybe we'll give them a pass. 1-800-848-9222. Chris Hahn, Curtis Lewa with you till 5.
It's the left versus the right. In the right corner, it's heavyweight king Curtis Sliwa. In the left corner, the aggressive progressive Christopher Hahn. It's a 77 WABC debate. Heavyweight slugfest on New York's news and talk station, 77 WABC.
I suggest we take off the Everlast gloves. We go bare knuckle here. Curtis Sliwa on the right. Mr. Law and Order, leader of the Guardian Angels, battling it out with Christopher Hahn, contributor on the Fox News Channel, former aide of Chuck Schumer, and a proud liberal.
I like to call myself a progressive, but yeah, liberal's fine.
I guess
it's coming back now.
Big L in front of you.
I guess in the 90s, we weren't allowed to call ourselves liberal because it was somehow Ronald Reagan figured out a way to make it bad in the 80s and early 90s with Bush Sr.
Well, yours is now like a Chinese menu. You can be a liberal, you could be a progressive, you could be a democratic socialist of America, or encompassing all three of those. A justice warrior. Of course, are you a justice warrior?
I think we should all be justice warriors, don't you think? Don't you think we should all want justice? That should be our goal?
Yeah. It depends on what your form of justice is. Like, one of the big stories across America, it affects every municipality, is the rise of district attorneys who have been sworn in based on the constitution of their states. And it basically said, you know what? I'm telling you now, as I told you during my campaign, I am not enforcing certain laws. I'm basically ignoring them. No enforcement whatsoever. And I'm going to just concentrate on major crimes, you know, major gun running, major drug running, white-collar crime, political crimes. But when you consider shoplifting...
Street-level crime, they're not going to waste any time on. They're going to plea it out, or they're not going to deal with it at all.
Smash and grabs, resisting arrest of a police officer.
Yeah, I'm a little perplexed about that one. I think resisting arrest is something they should
All right, but this is not unique. If you go to San Francisco, Boudin is the district attorney there. By the way, comes a good pedigree, you know, Weather Underground pedigree, his mommy and daddy, right? Revolutionary.
Again, sins of the father. You and I both don't want that happening to our kids.
Then the strangest. This is the strangest.
Right.
Garcon, who's the DA in L.A., was in the LAPD. He was the chief of staff, the number two guy to Bill Bratton when he left New York to become the police commissioner in L.A.
Yep, yep.
Then he becomes district attorney in San Francisco for a few years before Boudin. He goes back to L.A. because he says, my mother is ill. I'd really want to stay here with my family. Runs for the L.A. County DA. He's under recall. Boudin in San Francisco is under recall. Thank God California has recall. A lot of states don't have recall.
Ridiculous law, by the way. I hate it.
Why?
Because we live in a republic, not a democracy.
I'm sorry.
It's a republic if you could keep it. It's not a, I don't like what you did last week. Let me recall you. That's stupid. It's a stupid thing.
Why wouldn't you want people to have an app? First of all.
You have an app. Every 4 years, you get to choose these people. And you can choose every 2 years,
Chris,
usually council members who can knock around
Chris,
with these
guys. Do you
guys
know how difficult a recall election is? Do you realize how many signatures you have to get of people who voted in the previous election?
It's a small percentage.
No, it's not. It's very difficult to get.
They tried to get Gavin Newsom out. And basically, it was such a small percentage, considering how many votes he got for governor. It was a ridiculous amount of votes.
Why was it ridiculous? Look at what had happened years before with Gray Davis.
It was like a million signatures. He got like 10 million votes.
But Gray Davis, who couldn't handle the electrical grids, you know, all the brownouts, blackouts.
Yeah, why aren't they doing that for Greg Abbott down in Texas, who couldn't handle the electrical
grids? I don't think they have recall
in Texas. He's going to run for re-election this year. He better hope it's not a cold winter.
Well he's got problems. You know, there's Colonel West to the far, far right.
Yeah, Colonel West.
And of course,
the guy who was a Florida member of Congress from Florida.
That's true.
He's running for governor.
That's true. And now, remember, your hero, at one point he was on his way to getting the Democratic nomination. Young man from El Paso. We had to see his homemade YouTube videos of when he was in the dentist's office, when he was driving across America, when he was flossing his teeth.
It worked. Raised him a lot of money. Beto O'Rourke.
Right. That was your guy. What happened? He crashed and burned.
I think he's going to be governor of Texas. I think Texas is a state that is just waiting to flip.
Well, you know why?
And it's going to change the map in this
country. You know why? Because so many people from California and New York are fleeing to Texas.
Yeah.
It may become purple.
It's already purple.
And God forbid, eventually
blue. It's going to be blue. It'll be blue. I thought by now it'd be blue. I'm a little surprised it hasn't. We'll see what happens.
O'Rourke really gave a good challenge to Ted Cruz.
I don't know how Ted Cruz is still in politics. Okay, the man is basically Reek from Game of Thrones, and you know what I mean by that. He had something cut off of him. And Tucker Carlson showed the world this week that Ted Cruz, it doesn't matter what you say. If I say something bad about you, you're going to come onto my show and grovel at my knees.
That's like WWE. Come on.
I don't think so. I think he went groveling.
Can we listen? Please,
You want to play it again?
Yes. We have to, because I'm telling you that this was all signaled in advance. This is like when Vince McMahon Jr. is in the locker room and telling Hogan.
I got it, but he looked horrible.
Really?
Like, why would you, as a senator, put yourself in that situation where you're basically groveling
to somebody? He didn't know that this question would come up.
Of course he knew it would come
up.
He wanted to go on to apologize to Tucker. You got to win the Tucker primary if you're going to run for president. Some people tell me that Tucker's going to run for president.
Oh, get out.
Look, man, I've spent a lot of time in green rooms, so everybody in this, anybody who wants some intel on Tucker, come
to me. Tucker Carlson is a thespian and actor. When he was at MSNBC, he was to the left. I substituted him for 1 week. He said to me with his bow tie, remember, that was his trademark then, Curtis, don't alienate my audience with that conservative stuff.
I don't ever think he was to the left. I always thought he was maybe center.
At MSNBC?
I don't know. I wasn't watching it back then.
Nobody was back then. Nobody was back then. But let's go to the audio tape.
You never use words carelessly, and yet you called this a terror attack when by no definition was it a terror attack. That's a lie. You told that lie on purpose, and I'm wondering why you did.
What I was referring to are the limited number of people who engaged in violent attacks against police officers. Now, I think you and I both agree that if you assault a police officer, you should go to jail. I wasn't saying that the thousands of peaceful protesters supporting Donald Trump are somehow terrorists. I wasn't saying the millions of patriots across the country supporting President Trump are terrorists.
What you just said doesn't make sense. So if somebody assaults a cop, he should be charged and go to jail. I couldn't agree more. We have said that for years. But that person's still not a terrorist.
Of course, it would be ridiculous for me to be saying that the people standing up and protesting to follow the law were somehow terrorists. I was talking about people who commit violence against cops, and you and I both agree, if you commit violence against cops, you should go to jail. I have referred to people who violently assault police officers as terrorists. I've done so over and over and over again. If you look at all the assaults we've seen across the country, I've called that terrorism over and over again. That being said, Tucker, I agree with you. It was a mistake to say that yesterday, and the reason is what you just said, which is we've now had a year of Democrats in the media twisting words and trying to say that all of us are terrorists, trying to say you're a terrorist, I'm a terrorist.
Guess I just don't believe you. And I mean that with respect.
See, both sides benefit from that appearance. Both sides benefit.
Well, everybody's talking about it.
Right, but Ted Cruz.
By the way, I never called Ted Cruz a terrorist. I called him a traitor.
So right, but
I want to clarify. Ted, I've never called you a terrorist. You've never used violence, but you are a traitor to your country.
But remember, and plus a good father. Remember he went
off
to that vacation in Cancun
he
with his daughters, when Texas was in a brown-out blackout.
He blamed his daughters. Oh, no, my kids wanted to get out of town.
But you've been in hardcore politics. You were an aide to Chuck Schumer. I mean, you've learned it all. This appearance was prearranged. It was good for Tucker Carlson to be the heavy.
You think it was? I get it was good for Tucker. But it wasn't good for Ted.
Yes, because he gets out from under it on a show that a lot of the people who would hold it against Ted Cruz now hears. And although he appears to be weak, capitulating.
He's definitely weak.
Right. But
I don't think appearing weak helps you. I just don't. Not
he's,
in politics.
He's appeared weak before.
He's weak.
How could you not be weak? Trump, the candidate who's running against you when it was just two guys left standing, says your father aided and abetted.
I don't understand how you ever
Lee Harvey Oswald and
your father
JFK.
Killed Kennedy.
Right.
But can you please now you're going to grovel at that guy's
always
feet.
Always forgiven and forgotten. Look, another guy who hopes to become the Republican nominee, Shamu El Jefe, Chris Christie. Look how many times he's had the love-hate relationship with Trump. 1 minute he loves him, next minute he hates him. It's the seesaw effect. Please, Chris, you've been in this game too long when we're being set up, when we're being spun.
Look, Ted Cruz will never be the Republican nominee for president. And if he ever is, and I hope he is, because it'd be the only person easier for the Democrats to take on is Trump. frankly, because Trump would motivate people. They'd be scared to death of Trump becoming
all right,
president.
Well, one thing we
but
can
Ted
agree on.
Ted is just hated.
One thing.
Did Lindsey Graham, you remember Lindsey Graham?
Yes.
The guy from the South, South Carolina Republican?
Yeah,
he said you could murder Ted Cruz on the floor of the U.S. Senate with all 100 senators present, have the trial in the U.S. Senate that same day and not get convicted because people in the Senate hate that guy.
Well, was this at the same time that then-candidate Donald Trump was giving out Lindsey Graham's personal cell phone?
It was right
number.
Around that time, yeah. And then Lindsey Graham, of course, he bent the knee.
Come on.
Too.
A lot of this is
you know,
staged.
Can we stop talking about these two weak
yes,
people?
All right,
let's talk about two strong people. The Pope, who I know you love, and
hell
who I love.
No.
You don't like Pope Frank? I
no,
like Pope
no,
Frank.
No. Pope Francis loves Che more than
almost
he does JC.
It almost makes me wish that I wasn't a lapsed Catholic. You know,
No, I'm an A&P Catholic. Ashes on Wednesday, palms on Sunday. Then you don't see me for a month
yeah,
or Sundays.
Yeah, you haven't seen me in many years of Sundays.
So think of this. Pope Francis' claim to fame was he was a bouncer outside of a gin mill, a nightclub in Buenos Aires. Then he decides he has an epiphany. I want to become a priest. I don't want to chase skirts anymore. I don't want to experience nightlife anymore. And becomes pious and chaste. Sure. then emerges as the number one candidate. As the smoke goes up the chimney, the Cardinals.
I mean,
have
it
said,
was a surprise to all of us.
No,
I think.
Because Latin America is a base for Roman Catholics. Europe shrinking. North America
everybody's
shrinking.
Looking for the Latino vote.
Right.
Even the Catholics.
So Pope Francis comes in. And he even says in his initial interviews, I love St. Francis of Assisi. I love St. Francis of Assisi. So on Wednesday, he gives a papal message that it is in league of what he's been saying lately. He is saying to the flock, the true believers, you've got to go out there and you've got to create babies. I don't care if it's natural. I don't care if it's artificial insemination. I don't care if it's donations in a petri dish.
Now you got
we
that
need
message.
Babies.
You got that message years ago. You have multiple babies with multiple
that's
women.
I
right. So
that
you have been a good Catholic in that regard.
No, because two of my youngest sons are Jews. My oldest son is a Catholic.
Yeah, but they're babies. They're there.
So the chosen people get two out of that.
Right.
But the point being is, the Pope then starts railing against people who have pets. You have pets.
I do. I have two dogs.
I have 16 rescue cats in a 328-square-foot apartment that I share with my wife, Nancy, the animal rescuer, in the Upper West Side, you know, with all the liberals and progressives. I mean, that's the epicenter.
You take the red hat off before you get near the building. Nancy's like, take the hat off, take the jacket off.
No, because
you have an inside-out jacket.
When they see my red beret, in their eyes, it doesn't represent law and order and the guardian angels. It represents Hugo Chavez. It represents Fidel Castro.
That's the guy with who's living with his daughter and the 25 cats.
Oh,
that's what
true.
They really think.
My wife.
Oh, isn't that the guy on the first floor who lives with his daughter in a studio apartment?
My wife, I don't even know how young she is. She's a hipster millennial. That's all I know.
She would be inappropriate for me today, and I am a lot younger than you.
So think of it. I'm running for mayor. My wife is accompanying me, and everywhere we went, whether with foes or friends, they would come up and say, Nancy, what is it like to be the daughter of Curtis Sliwa?
It's so sad. 1-800-848-9222. We're going to talk more about this.
We're going to talk
about the Pope. We're going to talk about Joe Manchin, who's one of the real powers in Washington, on the other side of the break. 1-800-848-9222 to join the national conversation with Curtis and Chris.
It's the left versus the right in the right corner. It's heavyweight king Curtis Sliwa in the left corner. The aggressive progressive Christopher Hahn. It's a 77 WABC debate. Heavyweight slugfest on New York's news and talk station. 77 WABC.
There we go. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-922 if you want to be part of the national conversation. Chris Hahn, Curtis Sliwa with you till 5 o'clock talking about our pal, my Gumbada Cheech, Pope Francis.
Yeah, well, let me explain because being an animal rights, animal welfare activist,
yep.
I was a major plank in my campaign for mayor. First time anywhere in America.
It's one of the things you and I agree on almost 100%.
No kill shelters for unwanted animals of any types. There's always a home we can find for them, whether you foster them out or get them adopted. No need to kill them unless they're in such perilous condition that everybody agrees it's better that this pet pass into the air of it. But Pope Francis, said that if you have pets and you're not having babies, you're selfish.
Well, what if you have pets and babies, like me?
Well, that's you, and obviously like myself. But no. We should be having babies because the population is depleting. Obviously, we know that
is in Europe. Is the population depleting?
In Europe.
In Europe.
In North America.
Right.
This is where most of the money for the Roman Catholic Church comes from.
Well, they're going to get a new market. That's why they elected this pope.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But the point being, to so crassly say that you're selfish to have pets and not to have babies. Think of that. I tell you, with all the people that I know, relatives that I have, the many ex-wives that I've had, the kids that I have, there is nothing better after a long day when you come home, you schlep home, and everything has happened to you simultaneously. Your world is collapsing.
Yep.
When the pet comes up and it's by your side.
I love it.
The pet senses
that
you have a problem.
I'll tell you what. When I was leaving to come here today, everybody was out.
Yeah.
And my older dog was sleeping upstairs. My puppy was downstairs. And she just wanted me to stay. She had that look. She's like, come on, sit down on the couch like we did yesterday. Yes. Let's watch some football.
Yes.
You know, it was so sad.
They're not judgmental.
No.
I just recently had one of our rescue cats, a calico named Hope, who had a bad bout of cancer. My wife, Nancy, rescued her from the shelter, got her the operation. She lived an incredible more 2 years and then just passed away. And I got to tell you, Chris, I'm considered like one of the toughest guys in America.
One of the toughest guys. Who's
thugs.
Who's saying that?
You know, guys out in the streets.
You're one of the toughest guys in America.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
You.
Yes.
Not like Tom Brady or...
come on. Tom Brady is defended by an offensive line.
Not
of
like who's the guy from the Texans who moved to...
Who's been shot? Who's been stabbed? Who's been beaten?
Yeah,
saw me battling...
I did. I saw you take a city bike to the head and then came in and did 2 hours of radio.
So the point being is when my...
You are very tough.
My father, Chester, passed away as he did at 93. My mother, Francesca, 94. They lived a great life. I never shed a tear for them. People said, oh, come on, Curtis. This is your mom.
They were 94.
Right, but come on, Curtis.
Right.
I just never cried when someone passed the year after. When my calico cat, the rescue cat, Hope.
It's killer.
I went with my wife to the vet. We watched it being euthanized. I cried for 3 straight hours. Because there's something about your attachment to a pet that is different.
That's...
And it doesn't make me selfish, Pope Francis.
No. He's wrong. He's absolutely wrong about that. I do like the Pope. I think there needs to be balance.
Love the Pope because he's a liberational theologist. He's to your.
It's funny. I'm not really I don't consider myself a Catholic anymore. I was born Catholic. I was raised Catholic till I was like 9. Then we became evangelicals, and now I don't go to church at all.
Oh wait,
but
you're a holy roller and evangelical.
I'm not anything anymore. Now I believe in God, but give me a break. Leave me alone. it's like,
the more in God we trust.
I believe in a God that created football on Sunday. So I believe in God that allowed me to sleep in on Sunday.
Now let's go to the new Pope of Washington, D.C.
Yes.
He can do no wrong.
Pope Manchin of West Virginia.
Recently, former Congressman Peter King wrote an op-ed piece said he should be the nominee to become the next president of the United States. And then it was coupled by a op-ed piece in the Wall Street Journal. Likewise, it seems there's this move to anoint Manchin as more of a quasi-democratic, moderate, independent who could potentially
be
a presidential candidate who could appeal to both sides.
I don't think so. First of all, I think, again, he's another one who's getting too old. I don't want another baby boomer. Or like Joe Biden is even is before baby boomers. I want a Gen X or millennial as the Democratic nominee for the next round of president.
So we're talking Buttigieg.
No, I mean, Buttigieg. It doesn't have to be Buttigieg. It could be somebody else. But I want some. Buttigieg's a millennial. I mean, I'm a Gen Xer. We had one president, Barack Obama, a great one, Barack Obama. But I would like to have another president from my generation. You know, I mean, we have the best music. Why can't we have the best presidents?
So you would actually would be based, the gradation for you is what their age is.
It's not only going to be what their age is, but I think it's time for the Democratic Party to move away from baby boomers.
So in this case,
I think it's time for us all in this country.
All right, well, it gives you an opportunity.
I think, you know, I'm not saying they should all go, but I think that we need to stop. You know, baby boomers have held on for a long time. They have been in power forever, my entire life. And it is time to pass the torch in this country.
Okay, so now you have the oldest president ever, Joe Biden. First year, he's completed 1 year. What kind of report card do you give him? Because clearly you seem to be inferring that maybe if he makes it through 4 years, it's time to retire.
I do not believe he will run for re-election, although he is saying he will. I give him a B. It's been a tough year for this country between COVID's up and down and the supply chain issues and other things. But I do think he's done a pretty good job. Look, he's created more jobs in his first year than any president ever. Unemployment is at its lowest rate in my lifetime. You know, I think he's doing a good job on some things. I think he's got to do better on some others.
All right. So what are some of the things that he needs to do a better job on? Because my impression is things really came unglued with the departure, the retreat, the surrender in Afghanistan.
I disagree. I think that it was going to be messy no matter who was president, no matter what the plan was. We were there for 20 years. I'm happy. And I think most Americans are happy that we're not there anymore.
All right. But remember, his whole...
And I think part of the problem with him is his messaging. You need to own that as a victory. They're afraid of the images, and the images were horrible, of the people clinging to airplanes and the chaos and then, of course, the bombing. But it is a victory. We were there for 20 years. He got us out. And that's phenomenal.
How do you perceive of that as a victory when the Taliban are reinstituting all of the, quote, progressive values
again,
that were
again,
instituted
why is
in
that
Afghanistan?
America's problem, right? We went in there to take out Osama bin Laden and the people who attacked us on 9/11, and then we stayed there for 20 years. And it was a cash machine for a lot of people around this country. And you talked about Dick Cheney earlier in the show, people who are associated with him. Enough. You know, we got to take that money invested here at home.
All right, but you do recognize the way he did it.
Could it have been done better? Sure. But it was going to be messy no matter
what.
And
the rationale to do it, to blame Trump because he had a treaty with the Taliban in Qatar.
He didn't have to honor the treaty, but he wanted to get out. Every president since Bush, including Bush, campaigned on ending the war in Afghanistan. Every single one of them. On both sides of the aisle. And nobody had the guts to do it. Joe Biden had the guts to do it. Thank you, Joe Biden.
So you give him a gold star for
that? I give him a gold star for that, but needs improvement on execution. How's
all right.
That?
Now, what about this whole COVID situation? We were talking about that. The inability to get testing kits out throughout America.
I am not happy with the way the testing situation was handled at the end of 2021. I think that they should have seen this coming with the holiday season. They should have been prepared for it. Even if you look around the country, the mass testing sites, the mass vaccination sites have all been taken down. So I think that they failed there. I also think that the CDC has been particularly confusing with its messaging.
Well, let me ask you this. How come every day they come out and they address the nation and the world? Because we lead and the others follow when it comes to COVID-19.
Right.
We came up with the vaccines. Thank you, former President Donald Trump. He finally got
like
some
acknowledgement. Like I said, we should call it the Trump vaccine and then people could get a little prick to remind them of the big prick. I'm just saying. Call it the Trump vaccine. It's just a little prick.
But just
ask Stormy Daniels about it. It's just a little.
But just
a little
in
prick.
The last 10 days, Joe Biden said the feds can't deal with this.
No. Joe Biden was on a conference call with governors saying that we all need to work together on this.
No, but he
was buttering. Oh, look, I'm sorry. I've been in many of those meetings with presidents, with governors, with senators. When you're talking with localities, you don't just say it's all me. You're saying we are in it together. I can't do it without you.
Yeah, but
and the Republicans took it, and you're taking it, and said, oh, he's abandoning it. That's not what he
not
said
not abandoning
on that call.
It because the same criticism was made of then-President Donald Trump, that he's not doing enough. And he was saying, really, a lot of this has to be done at the state level. He was criticized.
A lot of it does have to be done on the state level, but the feds have to provide guidance and assistance. And Joe Biden's giving
that. We should take the guidance
of DeSantis in Florida. The American Rescue Plan has it all right. We got a lot more of this to come. 1-800-848-9222. Chris Hahn, Curtis Sliwa with you till 5.
It's the left versus the right in the right corner. It's heavyweight king Curtis Sliwa in the left corner. The aggressive progressive Christopher Hahn. The 77 WABC debate. Heavyweight slugfest on New York's news and talk station. 77 WABC.
Yeah, Chris Hahn, Curtis Sliwa. With you till 5 o'clock, the left versus the right. 1-800-848-9222. If you want to be part of the national conversation, pick up the phone and give us a call. Curtis, I know you've been burning up here.
Now, hold on a second. That was The Clash, right?
Love The Clash.
Why didn't you mention that The Clash dedicated a song to me and the Guardian Angels, Red Angel Dragon?
Because I wasn't alive in 1975 when that happened.
There they were in the Lower East Side of Lower Manhattan, and they were watching us as we were running our patrols.
Yeah.
Up, down, all around, and they actually were inspired to write that show because they looked at us as being members of the counterculture, even though we were Law and Order.
Yeah.
Now, The Clash embraced
us. Well, you kind of were counterculture because, like, people are like, what is this guy doing?
Mm.
You're definitely counterculture now. Nobody wears red baseball jackets anymore. Mm-hmm. it's like you're your own thing.
But I thought you would have a renewed.
You think I would remember something that happened in the 70s when I was like 3? It's like, no, I don't remember what happened in the 70s when I was 3. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-WABC. So, restorative justice.
Yes.
It's not your favorite
thing. Yes.
Now tell me about it.
Okay. It's a huge national story and has been for at least the last 3 years. As George Soros has decided that if he's going to put his money into political races, as a lot of whales do on both the right and the left, rather than invest in national politics, congressional elections, U.S. Senate elections, that his philosophy, his ideology can best be represented by helping DAs get elected in municipalities. And he has basically put his money where his ideology is. So if you go to the San Francisco DA, LA DA, St. Louis DA, Fox, the DA who just got reelected in Chicago.
Right.
Krasno, who just got reelected in Philadelphia.
Right.
And now Bragg, who just got elected into the most prestigious district attorney's office in America. Movies have been made about it. The TV show Law and Order is about it. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office.
I was rejected from it. When I was in law school.
You were?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I was in Queens and then I was in Suffolk.
Well, you didn't have the pedigree. You had to understand.
I went to St. John's, not Harvard.
No. But
where
also,
real lawyers come
also,
from.
Also, Manhattan DA has many sons and daughters
right.
of those who have been politically connected.
No,
over
and
the
I
years.
Had no political connections at all.
So where did you end up?
Well, I wound up working for Chuck Schumer.
Right. So, but that's Chuck Schumer. But you did work for the Queens
when
DA.
I was in when I was at St. John's, I had a special appointment my third year of law school in the Queens DA's office. I worked in the appeals unit.
Okay.
There,
and so. That DA, who was like DA for life, his nickname was Duck Down DA Brown.
You DA know why Brown, was, Judge Brown.
You know why
guy.
He was Duck Down DA Brown?
I've heard this story, but tell it again. You tell it better than me.
He was a judge before he was elected district attorney. So he's a short guy to begin
Extremely
with.
Short.
He sentences this guy to, like, 20 years, not life, 20 years. The guy takes umbrage to it, pulls out a pistol, fires a shot at him.
Yeah.
But he was so short, the shot flew right over his head.
Thank God.
He ducked down, though, so he got the nickname Duck Down Brown. And after that, that's when they put metal detectors in the courthouses of the state courts and the municipal courts.
Well, it's about time.
But it all came about because of the guy you worked for, Duck Down
well,
D.A. Brown.
I mean, you know, look, I'm glad he didn't get hit by a bullet. I mean, was that supposed to be, like, were you teasing him with that nickname?
No, but that's
I mean,
how...
you should have ducked down a few times. You would have spent a lot less time in the hospital.
And you know about district attorneys.
I do.
I know about district attorneys because
they have
mother,
a lot of discretion.
Right. The mother of my two youngest sons is now the Queens district
woman
attorney.
Woman who I met just said, When I met her, she said, oh, you work sometimes with the father of my children. And I said, oh, yeah, you and I have a lot in common. Curtis is always trying to bleep me, too.
And she almost got beat.
Almost.
By a AOC acolyte, a woman named Caban, who actually, when the initial vote tallies came
looked
in.
Looked like she was beat, yeah.
Right. And this is a woman that was wanted to totally defund the police, defund prisons, not prosecute any misdemeanors. There would be no charges whatsoever.
Right.
And certain felonies would basically be just worked through the misdemeanor
right.
system and dismissed. Basically, almost no prosecutions. Bragg now, who has become a national issue because he is the new Manhattan District Attorney. If you were to walk into a store with a gun, loaded or unloaded, as long as you didn't pistol whip the person, the victim, or fire a bullet, it would be a misdemeanor charge, which, as you know, if you pled disorderly conduct, it would go away. Now, that has enraged a lot of people.
Well, by the way, a lot of these things get pled out anyway, even whether you
almost
have a philosophy
99.9%
or not.
99.9% of them.
Right. So, I mean, there's a lot being made of this when it's really what happens every day. They're just saying what actually happened.
But this was on the island of Manhattan, and I happen to be campaigning here for
yes.
mayor and the other boroughs.
Yes.
Bragg was saying
this. By the way,
go
ahead. No, go ahead. I don't want to.
Bragg was saying this all during his Democratic primary. The two people who lost to him were also justice warriors who believed in this same philosophy. Collectively, they got 76%
yep.
of the vote.
They were jumping over each other to see who would be the most, you know, most like this.
And also, who would qualify for the Soros dollars, because Soros looked
yeah,
at this and
I
said,
think, I think you're exaggerating.
He dumped $1 million.
It didn't matter. Once they won the primary, it didn't matter
well,
who.
No. It did matter because he had two challengers who are of the same ideology,
right.
two women who split the women's vote. That's how the African-American Bragg ended up winning the Democratic primary, which
I'm
was
gonna
a
slam
dunk. I'm
going to have to look into the Soros dollars thing. I think that gets thrown around a lot.
Really?
I don't necessarily.
He acknowledges it. It's not like he runs from
so
it.
Basically, he's taking a page out of the Koch brothers' playbook, and he's investing in
yes.
local elections.
Yes, but just
by the
VAs.
Way, which I think everybody should be
right.
investing in local elections.
Right.
They're the most important elections.
DAs. But now, from your point of view, when a person walks in, let's say, a typical store, pulls out a gun, whether it's loaded or unloaded, whether it's a toy gun,
right.
a facsimile of a gun, and points it at the person without pistol whipping them or shooting them, they should be hit with a misdemeanor charge. This is what he's saying.
No.
This is restorative justice.
I don't believe that's really what he's saying. I think he's saying, look, we're not going to be prosecuting low-level offenses. That's not going to be our focus. We're going after guns. We're going after major crime. We're going after white-collar crime, political crime, things of that nature.
The problem
you only have a limited amount of resources
right.
in those
the problem
jobs.
Is that in our state, it is unique. In New York, the governor can remove a district attorney.
They can.
The governor could remove the mayor of the city of New York for no reason, by the way. That has to be changed.
Yeah, it's a little.
I don't like the mayor. Get rid of him.
Trust me. If it was easy to do, Andrew Cuomo would have done it to Bill de Blasio.
Understood. But
right,
the
point so it's
is,
not that easy.
You can remove a district attorney. It's
right.
a statewide
it's been
position.
It's been done.
Exactly. She's not going to do that. She's a Democrat. You could have a recall like they have in California now, both for the San Francisco district attorney, L.A. district attorney. We don't have recall. We should.
No.
Thirdly, you have the U.S. Attorney's Office that has already stepped into some districts around the country, and they are taking over the gun cases because the local DAs who believe in restorative justice won't do that.
Well,
they
this DA has said particularly he wants to get guns off the streets.
Yeah, but how do you get guns off the street? If a gun thug is using the gun, and just because he hasn't hit a suspect.
I don't think that's what's going to happen. If you're using a gun in a crime here in New York City, you're going to be prosecuted
really?
For it. Yeah. We'll see.
That's not what he said.
We will see.
He published a manifesto.
Yeah, I read it. I read it differently than you do.
He wants to lead the restorative justice
well, he
warriors.
Campaigned on it, and the people of this city are going to get what they, you know, what they paid for, basically. They
well,
bought
let's,
this.
Let's go to the phones, 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC.
Let's go to Kevin. Kevin, how you doing?
Thank you. Chris, Curtis, the marathon man. You need to put his head on straight, Curtis. And, Curtis, I'm surprising you. You called the DA of Manhattan a prestigious. Prestigious is when you're getting results. Just look at last year of the crime, what's been going on. And then to put in this Soros-backed attorney general.
Yeah, yeah, but Kevin, you have to understand, when you're the Manhattan DA now, the only thing that matters is that you prosecute Donald Trump, his family, his businesses, his associates. That's all they ever talk about. So the previous DA, Cyrus White Shoes Vance, and now the new DA, Bragg, that is their priority, prosecute Trump, his family, and his business holdings.
Well, I mean, look, I think they got to do more than that. DA is a local office. You got to deal with local crime.
Oh, by the way.
That doesn't mean they shouldn't be prosecuting.
Kevin, you sound like you have that Boston accent. You've got the same problem up in Boston, don't you?
We do. We now have Rachel Rollins, okay, the Suffolk County District Attorney that let crime go. As long as you loot, it let it be a dollar under $1,000. That's okay.
It's everywhere, Chris. Boston there. Kevin is telling
you. I don't know. I think I always say this about you. You're a hammer. You think everything's a nail.
Follow the
Everything
Soros
is crime.
Money.
Soros. Give me a break. It's Soros. Wait a minute. Did Soros put
and
some money
son.
In against
and
you?
His son, yes.
It was their money
son.
Against
no,
you.
No, actually, he didn't. Because remember, Mike, the candidate who beat me, Eric Adams, was a Law and Order candidate
right.
like I was. He was just softer on crime than I am.
1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. Let me go to Drew. Drew.
Yeah, so I was doing something called it's an app, right, called the Election Shuffle. So it'll show you each state, right, and then it'll go county by county. And basically, it'll show you like it was from the 2020 election. It's actually good because it'll show you what the opposite party would have to do to win a state. So let's say you hit in New York, right? So I hit in New York, and I said, okay, hypothetically, what would a Republican have to do to win?
I don't know about you. I'm trying
well,
to follow
look,
this.
Look, I gotta tell you, New York City, what just happened is the new mayor, Eric Adams, had first supported the idea that green card holders could vote, 800,000
right.
in New York City. Then he gets elected, and he says, well, I don't know about this provision that they should be able to vote within 30 days of getting the green card.
No.
I might veto it. And then yesterday, when he could have vetoed it, he decided he wouldn't veto it. It's now the law. And this has happened in other cities across America. Now, there will never be a Republican elected in New York City if, in fact, this remains the law.
By the way, they're never going to be a Republican elected in New York City, even if this wasn't the law. Let's
no,
be
that's
clear.
Not true.
It's not going to happen again.
That's what they said before Giuliani.
Yeah, guess
came.
What? If Giuliani ran today, you know, if he would have been the candidate this year, you got 27.5%, he would have got like 4%. Okay, let's just be clear.
No. If you're a student of history, it goes in cycles. But if you have...
it does go in cycles, but I do not believe we will ever have a... It goes in cycles, but you got to have a certain type of Republican. Remember, when Rudy Giuliani ran, he was a very progressive Republican.
A moderate.
Right? You will not elect a conservative. You can't even... There are no such thing anymore in this country as progressive Republicans. Rudy Giuliani was progressive on issues. He was pro-choice. When he ran for mayor.
And gun control.
Yeah, and for gun control. A lot of things we all agreed
and
on. I think he
remember,
did a pretty good job as mayor.
Don't understand. He was in charge of a sanctuary city, as was Governor Pataki at that time,
right.
a Republican, as was Shamu El Jefe, Chris Christie in New Jersey, a sanctuary
so,
state.
So, I mean, you know, to think that, you know, there's a chance for a Republican.
Yeah, but you do understand, if you allow potentially 800,000 green card holders vote, the Democrats wanted that. They will feel beholden to the Democrats. Not all 800,000 are going to vote.
I'd be shocked if 8,000 of them vote.
But still, that can be a differential
in a city of a million, you know, where 2 million, 3 million people vote.
In a lot of local elections.
Yeah, I mean, look, we'll see.
You can't allow
I, for one, am not in favor of that rule. I think that citizenship should have its privilege.
We're in solidarity.
And I don't understand it, frankly. But I get what they're saying when they say, we want to give these people a stake in what's going on in the city of New York because they live here, they work here. Right. I agree. I think citizenship should be some benefits.
Actually, Chris, when you look at the test to become a citizen, these people become more astute about our government and history
Absolutely.
Than fully grown Americans. I'll give you an example. My grandfather was from Italy, Bari. Fidello Bianchino couldn't read, couldn't write, couldn't speak English. So his sons brought him to the federal judge because it was the federal judge who would administer the test. He asked my grandfather, Fidello Bianchino, 10 questions. My grandfather just answered Roosevelt, Roosevelt, Roosevelt to all 10. It was when FDR was president.
Yep.
It was a Democratic federal
church. He said, all right.
He said, welcome, brand new citizen, Fidelio Bianchino, to the United States.
Thank God, right?
Bravo.
Otherwise, you wouldn't have been able to run for mayor because that law was in effect now. Giuliani be kicking you out of the country.
That's true.
1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848. If you want to be part of the national conversation, let's see who's doing it here. Let's get Jose in the Bronx. Jose.
Richard Blasberg, author of The Gene Machine.
Oh, my goodness. These
let's
guys.
Go to Kenny and Bayside.
Kenny!
Guys, I'm at Burger King right now. Listen, man.
He's at Burger King.
We're having a little problems with the phones this hour.
I think these guys are like, I don't know.
What about if we go to Pete? Let's try Pete.
All right, Pete.
Hey, Curtis and Chris. I'm on the Castro convertible with my remote and my Alexa, and they cut away from tie-tie 13-13, the Pittsburgh game, getting ready for a field goal in overtime to put the Jets on. I almost had a heart attack. Thank God I got the zone, that red zone, and I was able to catch the
now,
end of the game.
Got to ask you a question, Pete. On your Castro convertible there, you know that online gambling is now legal in New York State.
I've heard.
You got the app. They got four providers, FanDuel, Caesars, the rest of them. Are you hitting that app like so many people are now that sports gambling is legal?
You can't even get on it. You can't even open it. There's guys putting money in. They can't even use it. They get mixed up. They're putting in on fantasy football, which isn't even going on now.
All right.
Now, Chris, you're totally into football, collegiate, NCAA, and
I don't watch as much college football as I do pro.
You're going to be watching Monday night.
I will watch Alabama versus Georgia. Yeah,
you know, Bulldogs versus the Tide.
I'm rooting for Georgia. Alabama's had too much success.
But
let's
now,
get somebody else
as a resident of New York, you now have an app. As of yesterday, you can bet legally online.
I don't bet. I'm too cheap. 1-800-848-9222. Chris on Curtis Lee. We're with you for a little while.
You are mine. I'll be here till the end of time.
It's the left versus the right in the right corner. It's heavyweight king Curtis Sliwa in the left corner. The aggressive progressive Christopher Hahn. It's a 77 WABC debate. Heavyweight slugfest on New York's news and talk station. 77 WABC.
Chris Hahn, Curtis Lee, we're with you till the top of the hour. A lot of people holding on the phones here. Let's get to them. Let's get right to them. Barbara, you're on with Curtis and Chris.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm well.
Chris, you told me I heard your little broadcast that you were a Christian.
I am.
And, okay, I'm going to pray for you for 30 days that God will give you wisdom and open your eyes to see what's going on in his world that he created. And I'm going to call back in 30 days, and I want to see if things have changed in 30 days. I promise I'll pray every morning.
I appreciate you praying for me, Barbara.
I think your politics are screwed up.
Barbara.
And I'm being polite.
Okay.
And
Barbara, I appreciate it. And, you know, I'll be praying for you
and
the world.
Let me suggest to Barbara, many people, with the dropping of the ball on January 1st, they go dry for a whole month.
Yes.
They don't drink.
Yeah.
But then they go back to drinking on February 1st. You really think prayers are going to do anything for Christopher Hunt? Don't knock yourself out.
It's kind of funny. There's a guy out on Long Island who is thinking about running for Congress, and he's telling everybody God told him to run for Congress.
And
then the Lions came out, and the Lions are just not that good. And
now
it's like, did God still tell you to run?
Wait a minute. Please. Slowly I turned step by step. There was a room in a Houston hotel, I think it was the Intercontinental, when Ted Cruz, his wife, and his father, the one that Trump accused of aiding and abetting.
The guy who worked at the book depository.
Who is now a big-time pastor.
Yes.
They got together with prayer. This always happens. This happened with Bush 43.
Yep,
this happened with Ted Cruz. And God spoke to them that Ted Cruz should run. That's what propelled him to victory in the Iowa caucus.
I'm going to quote the Bible right now. Matthew 25.
Ooh.
Be careful not to make a show of your religion but among men.
Could I
all these people who are running around saying they're the biggest Christians on the planet are doing the exact opposite of what Christ told them
but
to do.
What I
Ted
know,
Cruz
Chris,
especially.
What I want to know is I'm always trying to have a conversation with God. I always try to call up to God. He never answers my call. He introduces me to Mr. Click.
Yeah. Yeah, you know how you have the wrong number.
Why won't he talk to me?
You have the wrong number.
What have I done to forsaken you?
I think it's the red hat.
Bush 43, Ted Cruz, they had a pipeline to God.
Yeah, no, they're always praying to God, and God's answering them, telling them, I want you, Ted Cruz, to have more power, because that's what this world needs, you as president. God spoke to me, Ted Cruz, and said, me, the most hated person in America, should be president.
Well, remember, he went on to win the Iowa caucus after that. Remember that?
He did, and then it just went off the rails. 1-800-848-9222. James, how you doing?
Good. How you doing, guys? I just had a question. Quite often people bring up one of the things Trump did wrong on January 6th is he didn't speak fast enough and send out a message. My question is, if all these people were running wild at the Capitol, how were they supposed to know he made the message unless they had TVs or some kind of viewing of something?
Well,
how are they supposed
James,
to know?
They were all posting on their social media accounts. I'm pretty sure they would have gotten a message from Trump. Plus, they probably have alerts set to their phones, Trump, 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 and it would have gotten through. I think he should have spoken. Even, by the way, even if they didn't hear it, it would have been the right thing for him to do. Whether or not it was effective or not, the right thing for him to do would not have been to wait 2.5 hours.
Should he have asked for network and cable time?
Yes. He should have asked. He would have gotten it. He wouldn't have even had to ask for it.
Apparently, he did a few different takes and wasn't happy with the initial
takes.
Well,
he kept on doing takes where he was like, you guys are great. You know, I love you. You know, just stop.
Cut. You know, his chief of staff was saying, Mark Meadows, cut.
He wasn't saying enough. Speaking
of journalists giving advice to the president, obviously journalists have always had access to presidents, depending on who was in the White House.
Right.
There were certain individuals who were texting the president, you know, you got to do something.
Like
this is bad.
Sean Hannity.
Laura Ingraham. And the guy in the morning. Right. The guy in the morning.
Yeah.
Brian
Kilmeade.
Right. And I think they did the right thing because he would tell, hey, this is really bad optics. It's not good for the nation, not good for you. And yet they're getting hammered for that. I don't understand.
I don't know that they're getting hammered for it. They're getting hammered for, here's what you were texting Trump and here's what you've been saying for the last year
about what
happened that day.
At that moment, I think we can all agree they did the right thing.
They did it. They did do the right thing at that moment. Yeah.
So let's not keep beating it to death.
I don't think we're beating it to death. It's just the hypocrisy of what they've been saying since. They've been acting like this was just a tourist day. Brian Kilmeade's been pretty consistent, but you know it's kind of sad to see people
what a fair weather friend you are. The rock ribbed all American conservative voice of reason of Franklin Square, Long Island. Sean Hannity was your bosom buddy.
I do. I love him personally. I do. I disagree with him. I think his politics are crazy, but I do love him.
Now, question: why do so many people who have dominated media?
How many phones do you have, Curtis?
Oh, many.
That's
phones.
The problem.
But why is so many people who've dominated media? Why is it that they are from Long Island? I mean, think about it. You had Howard Stern.
Yep.
You had Sean Hannity. You had Bill O'Reilly. You have Christopher Hunt.
Seinfeld.
Why so many? Correct. Why?
Because it's the proximity to New York City.
That's
it. You're in the New York media market. You're constantly tuned in to what's going on. You're hearing the best in the business all the time. So you learn from the best, right? I mean, my radio style is a cross between Sean Hannity and Howard Stern. Just I'm on the left. You know, that's my style. And I learned because I've listened to these people for my whole life. They've been with me my whole life. You've been with me my whole life. I've been watching you on TV my whole life. So I've learned from all of this great media market. So anybody who grows up in this market has a natural advantage when it comes to it.
You haven't been a very good student because you really haven't been listening to me and following through on what I've been saying in talk radio for 30 years.
Well, you
and
change
on
your,
talk
you
TV
change,
for longer than that.
Well, it took me at least 5 years to understand the lingo because you speak with such a difficult way of using the New York ease that you Curtis ease we call it out here.
All right, so quick question though, as obviously it ratchets up the committee hearing on what took place on January 6th, how quickly do they have to move? Because remember, the focus is now moving towards the midterm elections. It looks like a tsunami for the Republicans.
Look, they're going to win the House at least. I don't know that they're going to win the Senate. They've got to move this year, and I think by the summer, early fall, they'll have a report out. 1-800-848-9222. Judy, you're on with Curtis and Chris.
Yeah, hi.
Hi. How you doing?
Hi, Curtis. I actually fell asleep about 3 o'clock in the morning with you, and now I'm
Should we talk to Nancy?
We were sleeping together.
Should we talk to Nancy about that, Curtis? Judy.
And I'm fired up again. I live up in Westchester. We've had, you know, airplanes full of people coming in the middle of the night. But Chris, I'm really concerned about your lofty attitude. I mean, I'm sure you're a nice guy, and the two of you banter back and forth. But Chris, I think you're a person that talks the talk, but I don't think you've walked the walk. I mean, now Curtis.
No. Let me do an intervention here, Judy. Chris has certainly had a lot of experiences. Just working for Chuck Schumer, working in the Queens DA's office, working on talk TV. No. The man is experienced.
I mean,
he's warped, but he's experienced.
I run more than I walk, Judy, just for the record. I tend to get most of my steps running.
And the good thing about you, you love dogs.
I love dogs, and I love you, Judy. And I love all the callers that call in here, no matter what I say to them. Chris Hahn, Curtis Lewa, we'll see you next week, America.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.